inkling of the historic revolution that was about to shake up our social order. And by the time I wrote New Passages in 1995, it was clear that Americans were taking longer to grow up and much longer to grow old. And that shifted all the stages of adulthood ahead by, at that time, 5 to 10 years. Now it's more like 10 to 15. Most middle-class Americans, I find, don't really cop to being adult until they're about 30 now. So the first adulthood, one could say, really extends from basically 30 to 50. And so much has to be compressed into that time. All the decisions about pursuing career, taking a more scenic route, to get married, to have children, in what order. We don't do this in the normal order anymore. And then a woman gets to 50, and there is this vast new territory out in front of her that extends beyond where she can possibly see, although I often think of it as standing on the top of a mountain. Where you have a 360-degree view in all directions. You can see where you've the territory you've traversed, and you can see where you've been on track, where you've taken a little detour, where you've really gone off track, how you got back on. So you can correct for a lot of those inefficient footsteps. And out in front of you, you see a territory that stretches for the average woman who reaches age 50 to her high 70s. If she's free of cancer and heart disease at that point, she can expect to live into the age of 92. And I've often said, you know, whoever prepared us for the possibility we might live long enough to forget the name of our first husband. Stop applauding. And 3 million boomers are expected to live to beyond 100. So it might be you. We don't get to choose. So we're going to have to really think hard about how to make the most of planning and preparing for and living through all these marvelous seasons ahead. I wonder how many of you have found a good guide for living those seasoned years. I can't see you because the house lights are down, but if anybody has found a really good guide, clap loud. Good. Okay, there's some stuff going on out there. I'm happy to hear that. I've been studying what I call seasoned women for the last several years. My book is titled Sex and the Seasoned Woman, but frankly, those first three letters are very helpful for getting people into the tent, but it's about a lot more than sex. The subtitle really says it. It's about pursuing the passionate life. Finding passion in your work, finding passion in your relationships, finding passion in your spiritual life, in community, it's finding and keeping your passion for life. Because passion is the central, basic motivator of human activity. This subject is not the same, and the phases that I've delineated are not the same as the stages of adult development and the passages between them. Those happen anyway, and in each passage you have the chance to either make a leap forward developmentally or get stuck and sometimes go backwards, but there is a real growth period potential. But pursuing the passionate life is an elective. It's a conscious choice. It requires taking the risk of change, and not just aging, but growing, daring, re-dreaming. So let me start with a definitive statement. For women who find their passion and have the courage to pursue it, the decades from 50 onward are the most satisfying decades in a woman's life, a whole second adulthood. But you wouldn't know it from watching TV series or commercials that feature 35-year-olds faking being 50 or 60. And of course, sex in the older woman used to be an oxymoron, rarely mentioned in the same breath. Even as late as 1996, 10 years ago, our largest single sex survey since the Kinsey report didn't bother interviewing Americans over 59. It was assumed that a woman's sex